you? Doing your Daniel? Bedroom? I'm well. Now, we're all ready because the Prime Minister and I have got to go in a few minutes for the ceremony. We all gathered. Any more when you want to rest in this convenient contraption? Well, perhaps I could start because this is the first occasion that the Prime Minister and I have met since the New Zealand election, in congratulating her on reforming a government and being Prime Minister of New Zealand again. Helen Clark and I have worked together now for quite a number of years, and we're both very committed to maintaining a close relationship between Australia and New Zealand. It is a very close relationship. We both put a lot of work into keeping it that way, and I can say at the commencement of her third term, on behalf of Australia, that I will work very closely with her as Prime Minister of New Zealand to ensure that the very smooth relations of the past are maintained. It's a relationship I put a lot of effort into in the 9.5 years I've been Australian Prime Minister. I don't think it's a relationship that should be taken for granted. It's one that ought to be worked on, and I've tried to do that.
Thank you, John, and it's been a good opportunity to catch up for the first time since the election. I might say John, as Prime Minister of Australia, made the first phone call to me after the election, and that was nice to have. This is the first of four significant international meetings we're both at in the course of the next 6 weeks. This one's followed by APEC in Korea, then the Commonwealth Heads of Government meeting in Malta, and finally the East Asian Summit, which is an innovation and a table we're very pleased to be at the first meeting of. So we've had a chance to catch up on those issues, and I've also been able to brief John on the one-day visit that I made to the Solomon Islands with some other regional leaders on Sunday, and to report on the quite amazing progress which is being made in restoring the situation there.
We're both very keen to ensure that the greater emphasis on governance and pooled responsibility within the Pacific Island area is maintained at this meeting. We had quite a turning of the page at the meeting in New Zealand a couple of years ago, and there was a feeling of a new optimism and a new era, and that was based on the emphasis we placed on governance and pooled responsibility and pooled activity, and it's important that the forum maintain that, and that will certainly be the view that I will put it on. Sure, Helen will have the same approach.
Australia and New Zealand do seem to have different approaches to the Pacific Island Forum approach on seasonal workers. Did you discuss that today?
Oh, I think we had a general discussion about it. Obviously, the New Zealand Prime Minister can talk to herself on that, but I don't know that the differences are all that marked.
What is your opinion on that?
Well, we have had some long-standing reservations about the concept. We apply an open, non-discriminatory immigration policy, and people from the Pacific Island area come in increasing numbers. We have always had a preference for permanent settlement or permanent migration. We do allow, of course, in the student category, people to come and study, and we've made it easier when they've completed their courses to apply permanent residence or citizenship. There are some fundamental issues involved in seasonal workers, and it's not something that in the past Australia has felt inclined to embrace, and it's not something that we change our policy on very readily.
What are those fundamental issues, Prime Minister?
Well, I think you either invite somebody to your country to stay as a permanent resident or a citizen, or you don't.
Is there a fundamental inconsistency with CER allowing labour mobility and attempting to push a CER on the Pacific which doesn't have any...
No, I don't think there's a fundamental inconsistency. CER is an expression of the close relationship between Australia and New Zealand, and the a cord that is extended, or the respect that is extended in New Zealand as part of that, is an expression of that relationship.
Mr. Howard, are you also keen to stamp out corruption and crime here in the Pacific?
Well, I like to see corruption and crime eliminated everywhere. Clearly, issues of governance are uppermost in the minds of the Australian government when it comes to the provision of aid to any country. I'm not being specific, I'm making a general point. We take the very strong view, and we don't apologise for it, that if we give aid to a country, that we expect it to be wisely spent, and we don't want it wasted because of poor governance and corruption.
That's
a strong view that we have, no matter what country.
In light of the riots in Rove Prison, which is a private prison owned by an Australian company, is that the sort of governance?
Well, I don't think there can be any doubt that as a result of the activity of Australia and New Zealand and other countries in the Pacific, Solomon Islands now has a future it couldn't have dreamt of a few years ago, and Helen has just spoken to me of the great sense of optimism and enthusiasm that came out of her visit to the Solomon Islands. That's been a great Pacific success story, and it's the sort of thing that has resonated in the region.
Do you think your new foreign minister will endorse your views about looking at seasonal workers from the Pacific?
Well, firstly, you need to be clear what we're saying on the subject. And our history on this is a little different from the Australian history, because New Zealand has long had in place access from the Pacific for migrants, including unskilled migrants. They get a chance to be balloted, and providing they can get work in New Zealand, they can come. So we're not applying the normal skilled migrant criteria. The second aspect of it is that we are short of workers. New Zealand does have the lowest unemployment in the Western world, and we're particularly short of seasonal workers. Now, obviously, our first obligation is to our own people, and we have been working with the seasonal industries to look at how they can employ more of those in New Zealand who aren't participating in the labour market, which may include women at home, may include young people on holidays, may include older people. But there's no doubt that there are quite a lot of people coming from offshore for seasonal work, including working holiday makers. Now, if a case is to be made to the New Zealand government for seasonal permits from the Pacific, our foremost concern would be that people do go home at the end of the permit. We have had a scheme in the past with Tuvalu, long predating my period as Prime Minister, where workers simply didn't go home, and we still have an illegal population from that time. Illegal populations live under the threshold of what is acceptable in the first world society. They're exploited by employers, and they don't get the health and social security backups people would expect. So if there's to be any consideration of arrangements for seasonal permits, there's quite a lot of issues which would have to be confronted, and a lot of undertakings would have to be given, and we'd have to be satisfied that these were the best arrangements for those industries.
Mr. Howard, do you rule out any move towards these seasonal permits at this summit?
Well, I rule in what I said a moment ago in answer to the question.
Can there be a Pacific plan without the labour mobility aspects of it?
Oh, yes.
So that could be dropped from this Pacific plan.
Look, it's not in the Pacific plan.
It could be argued that on a closer trade relations, that services would include this, more flexibility in the labour market. You say that's not...
Well,
that's not
those are all issues that have to be negotiated. It always takes two to tango in a negotiation. And from New Zealand government's point of view, there are quite a lot of difficult issues around seasonal labour permits. And the foremost in our mind is that we do not want to have a growing number of illegals who come and skip at the end of permits. And unfortunately, that's been some of the experience in the past.
How is the New Zealand and Australia government doing to try to stop illegal immigrants transiting into Australia from Papua New Guinea? It looks like you've committed to fighting corruption, but nothing being maintained on the PNG-Indonesia border and other seaports.
Is that a question directed at me?
How are the Australian New Zealand government trying to help PNG to maintain the borders from illegal entry transiting from PNG into...
Well, I haven't received any requests from the PNG government. I have to say that when that issue was briefly discussed in my meeting with Sir Michael Somare earlier this afternoon, he was not expressing any concern about the problem.
Mr. Howard, the state premiers have labelled your anti-terror laws unconstitutional. Have you had any further legal opinion on that, and have you spoken to the premiers about that?
Well, the two that I spoke to on the phone earlier today didn't say that to me.
So you haven't had any further legal opinion on that?
Well, the legal advice we have is that there's nothing unconstitutional. I have offered in discussion with Mr. Brax and Mr. Beattie, I've said that I'm quite happy for the Solicitor General for the Commonwealth, or our Commonwealth, Crown Law Authorities and theirs, to get together and discuss these issues, but we're very happy with the constitutionality, and I wasn't aware that the law had been so branded, and that certainly wasn't the thrust of the conversations I had. I had two very amiable conversations. I have no doubt that the Premiers want this legislation passed, and as far as I'm concerned, any proposals or suggestions which don't in any way violate the substance of the agreement that we made at COAG, I'm prepared to look at.
Mr. Howard, Don McGauchie, the chairman of Telstra, has come out today and said that he doesn't believe Telstra should be privatised for any price. What's your reaction?
Well, nothing new about that. We've said all along we're not a distressed seller, and what you've reported him as saying is precisely the same thing.
Prime Ministers, have you discussed West Papua this afternoon?
No. West Papua? No.
Mr. Howard,
I think we must go in a minute. I do. Yes, I've got to talk to another Premier.
Mr.
There's a lot of them.
You're meeting with Sir Michael Somare. Can you tell us what you discussed? Did you discuss the ECP? Did he bring up the question of labour mobility with you, and what was the result of the discussion?
Well, he certainly didn't raise West Papua. The issue of labour mobility was discussed, and the views that I have expressed here were the views that I expressed in that discussion. We talked about a number of other things. I did express the hope that the big gas project would come off, which is so very important to Papua New Guinea, and I've also offered to provide up to 7 Australian technical experts to Papua New Guinea to assist in relation to that project. It was otherwise a wide-ranging discussion. We talked about our two countries' common interest in rugby league. And congratulations on the keenly fought contest.
Keen contest
between Australia and New Zealand. And beyond that, it was situation normal.
Do Pacific security concerns end at the West Papua border? I mean, the Pacific plan includes security issues. Do Pacific security concerns end at the West Papua border?
Well, I can tell you, it may disappoint you, but West Papua was not raised by the PNG Prime Minister. Thank you.